Lemonada.
This is Eric Alvarez. One quick note before we begin. This episode is available in Spanish. You are listening to the English version, which means I will try to say soccer instead of football. Para escucharlo en español, busca el podcast Mi Mundialista Favorita.
The front of their jerseys say USA.
The back of their jerseys say Sanchez and Huerta, a nod to their Mexican heritage.
Together, Ashley Sanchez and Sofia Huerta are poised to be the only two Mexican Americans to represent the U.S. at the World Cup. Being half white and half Mexican is something they're very proud of.
But it's also something they've long grappled with, their identity.
Spanish was my first language, but then once I started going to school, I was embarrassed because I couldn't speak that good of English. And so I think from the beginning, I didn't want to speak Spanish anymore because I wanted to fit in.
For a long time, like, I didn't feel Mexican enough, so I didn't like tap into that. And it wasn't until like, I feel like a couple years ago that I was like, no, like, I can still be Mexican and look white or whatever, you know?
I'm Eric Alvarez, and I'm joined by my decorated football co-host. She's an Olympian who won the World Cup with the U.S. Women's National Team and now plays as a defender for the NWSL champion Portland Thorns, Megan Klinkenberg.
Thank you, Eric. This is my new favorite futbolista, where you will get to know football's brightest stars and the causes they're fighting for off the pitch.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Oh, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
Megan, do you know how many Mexican-Americans have represented the U.S. women's national team at the Women's World Cup?
I don't know, but I would assume it's not many.
It's just one. Stephanie Cox is the only Mexican-American to have ever represented the U.S. at the Women's World Cup. Megan, you know Stephanie a bit, right?
I do. Best left foot I've ever seen.
This year, two women of Mexican descent, Ashley Sanchez and Sofia Huerta, hope to represent the U.S. at the Women's World Cup. Here's Anabel Sedano, a news anchor for NBC Los Angeles, with their story. Anabel, how are you?
Hi, Eric and Megan. I'm doing well. Thank you very much for having me.
This story is particularly personal to you. Please tell us why.
That's right, it is. Because I, too, am Mexican-American. And just like Ashley, I grew up here in California. And then, of course, because I'm also Mexican-American, I've also struggled, right, with that, trying to combine my two identities, the Mexican identity and the American identity.
Thanks, Annabelle. Let's hear Ashley and Sofia's story.
The year is 1999. A sold-out crowd is packed into the Rose Bowl to watch Mia Hamm and the U.S. women's national team take on China in the World Cup final. In the penalty shootout, Brandi Chastain lasers a left-footed shot into the upper corner of the net to secure the win for the 99ers. She rips off her jersey in the celebration, which instantly becomes one of the most iconic moments in sports history. Ashley Sanchez was born 3 months earlier and just miles away in Pasadena, California, to a Mexican-American father, Ralph, and a white American mother, Julie. Ashley was born with curly black hair.
And then I would just turn blonde one day. I don't know why, but my mom was like, it was so funny. My mom always tells me, she's like, I was so excited to have a Mexican looking daughter. And then one day you were just blonde. I was like, oh, sorry to disappoint you, mom.
Growing up, most of Ashley's classmates didn't realize she was Mexican American until the teacher took roll call and they heard her last name. Here's Ashley's dad, Ralph.
You know, they would see her name on something for school or for a team or whatever. And they would say that's Ashley Sanchez. And I'm like, well, yeah, she's half Hispanic, you know? And, I didn't know.
And they're like, wait, you're Mexican? And they're like, do you speak Spanish? And I'm like, no. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, it wasn't like they were saying it, but they were saying it. And I think that was a big thing for me, that I was like, okay, maybe I just don't even deal with that. I'm just, okay, I'm not Mexican enough.
Not Mexican enough. Those are words a lot of people can relate to. Ask any Mexican American, you know, and they'll probably tell you they get flack from relatives in Mexico for not being Mexican enough, for not speaking Spanish perfectly. There's even a term for this type of Mexican-American. No sabo, kids.
I'm Latino, but I don't speak Spanish.
I'm no sabo.
Get ready with me while I explain how I went from being a yo no sabo kid to being fluent in Spanish.
It's a play on the incorrect conjugation of the verb saber, which means to know, that a lot of kids tend to use. That's why Ashley's family did their best to connect her to her Mexican roots. Ashley only visited her grandparents' hometown in Mexico once during her childhood, when she was around 7 or 8.
I got sick, so I really do remember that part. I got sick because there was some tequila tasting thing, and I didn't understand that it was alcohol, and I took it, and I was just yakking all over the street, and that was not fun. And I probably should have gotten taken custody of. No, just kidding.
we both got sick. we were the only ones that got sick. Everybody else was fine in the family except me and her. It was pretty bad. It was Montezuma's Revenge times two.
800 miles away in Boise, Idaho, Sofia Huerta was having a similar experience.
But being in Idaho, you know, as you know, isn't the most diverse area ever. So I think I definitely struggled with my identity there. Just, you know, I wanted to fit in, and, you know, I only really fit in, I felt like, if I was white. So I feel like it was definitely a hard place to grow up. But thankfully, because of my parents, I was always proud to be Mexican.
Sofia's parents made sure to keep her connected to Mexico.
My dad's from Puebla. He's the only one of his siblings who moved to the United States. So we still had a lot of roots there and a lot of family there. So I grew up going there twice a year, obviously during Christmas, of course, and then in the summer. So, you know, I feel like, you know, I always definitely loved being Mexican and definitely felt that and felt it in my blood.
When Sofia got a full ride scholarship to Santa Clara University in California's Bay Area, she thought she'd find other Latinos to connect with. But that wasn't the case.
It was kind of the same story that I had growing up.
It would be playing for the Mexican women's national team that would force her to face other people's thoughts on her identity. We'll have more on that in a bit. When Ashley Sanchez enrolled at UCLA, she quickly became best friends with Karina Rodriguez, a defender for the Bruins. They bonded over their Mexican heritage. But unlike Ashley, Karina could speak Spanish.
Being around her more, she helped me tap into those roots and also was kind of like a little cheerleader for me.
Ashley and Karina were far from the only Latinas on the team.
When I was surrounded on a team with girls who were also either half Mexican or fully Mexican, just made me feel more comfortable, and they were totally like supportive and weren't like, oh my gosh, like you're not Mexican enough. Like they were totally like, oh my gosh, no, like we're sisters, like whatever. And I think that really helped me to embrace it more.
Karina initially played for Team USA, even representing the US at the U17 Women's World Cup. But she eventually joined the Mexican national team, giving her a perspective Ashley didn't have.
So the first language I actually learned was Spanish. Unfortunately, I actually lost a lot of my Spanish when I was first starting to go to Mexican national team camps. I was like super embarrassed to kind of like even try to talk because I knew what I wanted to say. But like you said, the conjugations for words are just so difficult. So I would know I want what I wanted to say and I know the word, but I don't know how to conjugate that word so that it fit in the sentence. So I would almost feel a little bit like hesitant and stuff like that. But honestly, like being here, a lot of the girls are like, just say it and I'll either know what you're trying to say. And I'm like, or correct me. I'm like, please correct me because I want to properly speak the language. And so they've always been like super nice and will nicely correct me for specific words.
Her going away with Mexico and coming back and then like bringing different like cultural stuff and just like helping me be like, you know what? No, like you are still Mexican.
This is Eric Alvarez, back here with my co-host, World Cup champion, Megan Klingenberg. Megan, we're learning how Ashley and Sophia are exploring their Mexican roots while also wearing a red, white, and blue jersey. Mm-hmm. What does it feel like to represent your country at the World Cup?
For me, it was so much pride. I felt so proud to be the shining example of what America could be and what is proud of on that world stage. I was so pleased to be able to stand there and have my family see me with my hand over my heart singing the national anthem. It was a moment that I think will stick with me even more soundly, more prominently than even standing on the winner's stand.
And that moment of having your hand on your heart pre-game is something all of the athletes are going to take with them when the first whistle blows. Megan, thank you. After this break, Anabel Sedano will tell us.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number smart beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number smart beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
What happened when Sofia Huerta went to play for the Mexican national team?
In 2012, after the United States did not call Sofia up to the FIFA U20 World Cup, Mexico gave her an opportunity.
It was difficult for some fans to understand that I, like, you know, loved representing Mexico. I'm like, I'm from Idaho, you guys, come on. Like, I didn't choose that. If I could have lived elsewhere and been in a Spanish-speaking area, like, honestly, California, I would have, but, you know, it's not, wasn't in my playing cards.
While her teammates were welcoming, fans weren't as accepting.
I think when I was there, it was, you know, I don't know what's appropriate to say or not, but I was called, like, a gringa.
Gringa is a term used to describe an English-speaking white woman, usually of American or British origin.
Well, you know, like, I have lighter hair, you know, I'm lighter skin, so I think people were just questioning how Mexican I was, which is just so funny because I'm like, you guys, like, my blood is, my family's from Mexico. I'm literally, like, I go there all the time. So it was always, like, pretty difficult for people to really understand who I really was.
At the U-20 World Cup that year, she scored 3 of Mexico's 7 goals. And strong performances after that helped her gain the trust of fans.
I feel like once I, you know, represented Mexico for quite some time, then again, they received me better. And then right when they started receiving me better, then I left.
In 2014, Sofia decided to leave the Mexican national team for a chance to play for the U.S.
So, yes, of course, I received some critique from the fans that I was a traitor, I wasn't really Mexican, or, you know, go back to where I belong. You know, there were things that were not, like, the nicest to read.
But she had to accept something. There is a special pride that comes from playing for the country you were born in, your country.
I think when people really understand why I decided to play for the U.S., I think it's hard not to, I don't want to say root for me, but I think it's hard not to understand why I would make that decision. Like, it was a dream of mine since I was 5 years old. You know, I was born in America, playing for the U.S. team. You know, it was always a dream of mine because I saw them on TV all the time. You know, I think that if I was born in a different situation, playing for Mexico would have been my dream. I'm so thankful that I got that opportunity, but it really was always to play for the U.S. and to make a World Cup Olympic team with the U.S. team.
That dream is closer than ever for the 30-year-old. Ashley Sanchez is determined to learn Spanish. How's it going? We'll let you judge for yourself.
Soy Ashley Sanchez. Estados Unidos.
Here's Sofia.
She's so funny. I'm sure you saw that when you guys were talking. She's just like a jokester all the time. We're always like trying to speak Spanish to one another, and then we get embarrassed and we laugh because, you know, we're not the best at speaking. And she's so great, though.
Ashley took several years of Spanish in high school and recently hired a tutor. But learning a language while playing competitive soccer is not easy.
It's like so hard. Like, if I don't stay consistent, then I forget everything. But like, my schedule's always changing. And then like, we're in hotels and we have roommates, and I'm like, I don't really want to be doing this in front of people. Like, and then it just gets hard. So then I feel like I'm like wasting her time, because then she has to like go back through things, and I'm like, I feel bad. So we're trying to figure that out.
A big reason Ashley is learning Spanish is so that she can better communicate with her paternal grandmother.
I want to call her and just start speaking Spanish and her be confused, because I think that would be really funny.
Here's Ashley's dad, Ralph.
The awesome part is, as she gets older, you know, she's embracing her culture. She's told me, she's like, yeah, you know, I'm going to take some courses to improve my Spanish so I can speak fluently, and everything is totally awesome.
But it is also important for Ashley to learn Spanish because she knows what she represents, given how rare it has been for Mexican-Americans to play for the U.S. women's national team.
I think at the beginning, I didn't realize, like, how big of a deal it was. And now, coming to terms with, like, the fact that there has been, like, one, I think only one before me and Soph, is just incredible. I think there's so much more to do, and there's so many young girls, Mexican-Americans, that are, like, so good and that are deserving of the spotlight. And I just hope that there's obviously more players, and that will just be, you know, off in the distance. No one talks about it anymore because there's just like, it's going to become so common. But yeah, I think it's awesome. And even like little girls, like with their signs, and, you know, they're just like so happy to like look up to us. And I just think it's like a really big deal, and it's amazing.
Here's Sofia.
And I think, wow, what an awesome opportunity I have to be you know, Mexican-American, having Huerta on the back of my name, and then having little girls who look up to me who are also Mexican-American. Because as cliche as it sounds, I think we all agree that if you could see it, you can be it. And so I think for any little girl or boy who's from the Latinx community who sees my last name, they'll believe that they can do it.
Thank you for sharing this story, Annabelle. Ashley and Sophia are an anomaly in U.S. soccer at this level. Why do they think there are so few Mexican-American women at the pro soccer level?
You know what's interesting is that both women have said that the sport is very expensive. And in fact, Sophia also mentioned that had it not been for her friend's parents who were able to pay for all of those expenses and for her getting a full ride to Santa Clara University, then she may have not been playing soccer professionally.
Thank you, Annabelle. So, Megan, we've all seen the U.S. men's national team becoming more and more diverse in recent years. Mm. Why do you think there isn't as much diversity in the women's national team?
Well, I wish that they would address this more because it's important. I feel like we're only picking from a certain population for the U.S. women's national team, and we should be choosing from the entirety of our population. It would only make us better. And I think the reason is because the clubs around the world on the men's side are able to identify talent at a young age and then bring them into their systems and develop them into the players that they want them to become mm-hmm. or who they can become and play professionally. And that's just not the system that we have on the women's side. It's more pay to play. Mm-hmm. And so it's prohibitive for certain populations, for certain socioeconomic communities. And that model is really, really failing us, especially as teams around the world become better equipped with finances and investment and things like that. We're going to need to develop our entire population instead of just a subset.
That's an eye-opening perspective, Megan. Thank you.
On the next episode of My New Favorite Futbolista.
This U.S. defender is breaking barriers and embracing her culture to carve a path for other first-generation Americans.
As we've gotten older, we've realized it is a blessing, and it's really cool to have this other culture, these other experiences that you can share.
Get to know Naomi Girma on the next episode of My New Favorite Futbolista.
Thank you for listening to My New Favorite Futbolista. There will be over 700 players at the World Cup, so we have more inspiring stories to tell. Go back to the My New Favorite Futbolista feed right now to hear previous episodes, and make sure to subscribe to get future episodes automatically downloaded to your device.
This episode of My New Favorite Futbolista was produced by NBC Universal Local. Megan Klingenberg and I, Eric Alvarez, were your hosts. Annabelle Sedano was our guest correspondent. Seth Rubenroit and Fernando Hurtado wrote this episode. Jeremy Berg was the editor. Jeremy Berg served as executive producer. Fernando Hurtado and Seth Rubenroit were the supervising producers. Aaron Pinnell and Rosangela Payan were the motion graphics designers. Miguel Estrada, Brad Fossler, James Jeffrey, Michael Katowski, Erica Messick, Sanjesh Singh, Whitney Eyrick, Chelsea Turner, Amy Burns, Allison Stubb, Nate Fall, Matt Campbell, Mike Brown, Francesca Giamma, and Brandon Galvan were the production crew. Stephen Dawson was the operations manager. Ray Rodriguez, Miguel Estrada, Rafael Vireya, and Fernando Hurtado provided translations.